I always feel bad going after them. All right. As Tom said, my voice is a little funny today. I think it's just allergies. So if you hear it getting a little funny, please send up a prayer. Help her, Jesus, because she's going to need it. I didn't think to myself that I was going through puberty, though. So thanks, Tom. So we are reading from Luke chapter 24, and so hear these words. While they were talking about this, while they're talking about what, you might remember in Luke 24, Jesus encounters a pair on the road to Emmaus, and after they realize who they've been walking with, that it was Jesus, they came back to the disciples, and so that's where we are. So while they were talking about this, what they had said, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I enjoy preaching. My least favorite part of preaching is coming up with the dreaded sermon title. Because there are preachers out there, pastors, who have the gift of coming up with clever things. I am not one of them, but I was proud of myself this time. I attribute it to too much immersion into Sherlock Holmes, the hands of my husband. But the curious case of the broiled fish. I mean, seriously, why is that in there? I mean, why did Luke add that one? And apparently after consulting lots of commentators, no one else out there cares that it was broiled fish except me. But nevertheless, I think it is significant and adds into this story. And so let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. Help my voice, and may you take the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so where are we? It's been a couple of weeks since Easter, since Resurrection Sunday, at least for us, but for our disciples, it was just like hours ago. And so I think it's good, we know the story too well, and so it's good to remind ourselves like what their past few hours have been like. You know, a week ago, was not even a week ago, that there was such fanfare as Jesus came in riding on the donkey, and you know, people put down their robes and waved palm branches. And then there were, you know, throughout the week, some conflicts with the religious leaders. Jesus was teaching a lot to his disciples. And while, you know, initially the religious leaders thought, we'll wait till after Passover to get rid of Jesus, because there were a lot of people and they were worried, they kind of moved up the time frame. An opportunity presented itself. And so the religious leaders then handed him over to the Roman authorities for him to be crucified. And it was this horrible death. You know, and for so many of the disciples, I mean, they thought he was going to redeem them from the pagans. And yet it was the pagans who killed him. And so just this loss of hope that really went through them. Well, and then the women went to visit the tomb and they saw that the gravestone had been rolled away, and they even claimed to have seen him. Peter and John, they ran to the tomb and they saw it empty, but with the cloths there. And they just were trying to wrap their heads around it. And then we add now to the fact that two people who were walking to Emmaus, some, you know, other pair, encountered some man on the road, and lo and behold, it was Jesus. And they're trying to wrap their head around all of this, because when you're dead, you don't come back. And so, you know, it's hard to wrap around. Now the disciples are huddled together, maybe in the upper room, we don't know exactly, but for fear, they're in a locked room. And why are they so afraid? Well, if their rabbi was killed, they're next. And so they are so fearful, and so there they are. And it's behind those locked doors that Jesus just shows up and essentially says, hey, peace, why are you freaking out? And what's for dinner? I think all of those elements are pretty significant. So we'll start with the peace be with you. It was a common greeting, you know, peace, how's it going? But for them, it was so much more than that. Because again, they're fearful, they're afraid, they're anxious. And Jesus speaks right to them, to the heart of what they're experiencing. Peace be with you. You know, and that's so important. You know, it challenged where they were. He understood where they were, but he challenged them in where they were. He didn't just leave them there. And for me, I just think, what an amazing amount of grace on the part of Jesus. Because again, remember where we left the disciples, you know, just not too long ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, all of them fled. They denied Jesus. They betrayed Jesus. And when he shows up in their midst, extending grace. Peace be with you. I know you guys are scared, but may you experience God's peace. And then, yeah, you know, why are you frightened? Jesus so much asked questions. God in the Old Testament, I can think of a number of examples where God asked someone a question. God doesn't need to know the answer. Jesus didn't need them to say, well, we're fearful because of X, Y, and Z. He knew it, but he was asking it for them to come to the realization. You know, why are we frightened? Jesus met them where they were, in their fear. And add on top of that is the dead guy is now standing in their midst. And if you've got a dead guy standing in your midst, it's probable it's a ghost. And that's fear-inducing. And so he speaks to that. And he says, hey, guys, look at my body. I'm flesh and bones. I mean, what a better way to combat all of their fear, all of their questions with, like, his body and all of its realness. And he invited them, you know, to touch him and to see. And then he asks for food so that they can see his real body eat something. A ghost can't do that. Now, just to pause here, I think for us, how many of us find ourselves in locked rooms, in locked spaces? Maybe not physically, but you know, a recent medical diagnosis, cancer or something else. And you think to yourself, oh, how am I gonna do this? We're locked in an economy that's really struggling right now. A lot of people are underemployed or unemployed, worrying about how you're gonna put food on a table. And then there are those who are locked up because of loss or loneliness. You know, how am I going to live without someone around? And so I think we can understand being locked in a room with this anxiety and this fear. And then you add to the personal, just the whole world we live in. You know, immigration, increased crime. I wrote this a couple days ago, and the fear of terrorist attack. And who knew last night that Israel would experience a terrorist attack and Iran then saying, hey, America, you're next. I mean, we live with these layers of fear. We're with these disciples in this room as well. Fears can hold us captive. It's difficult to tell of the great joy that we have in Jesus when you are fearful. And so what I love is that Jesus first addresses, you know, peace be with you. But then it's not just empty words. He goes on to explain to them, to open their minds to the scriptures. And I love that order because he addresses their fears first, because your mind can't be open when you're bound up in fear. And so he gives them their peace, and then he opens their mind to see how this is all part of God's wider story, which I began to wonder, you know, for us as well, you know, when we come, you know, as a nation, we're more and more anxious, and, you know, mental health, you know, so many mental health issues, that I wonder if part of it is because we have lost that connection with understanding the biblical story. And what Jesus does when he opens their minds is start to have them understand how what happened, his death and his resurrection, was all part of God's wider story. And it's important to understand that wider story. You know, Jesus brought them peace through his words, but also peace in how he explained that what happened was part of this great grand story that God has been planning for of restoring all things. Now, just because he brought them peace doesn't mean he brought them security. In fact, they're going to risk their lives. Most of them will lose their lives because they chose to witness to God's redemptive plan and the resurrection. And so curious for us, are we willing to give up safety and security, recognizing that if God was able to bring Jesus back from the dead, you know, even fear of death shouldn't hold us back from sharing the good news of the gospels, to be witnesses for the sake of the gospel. But you might wonder, okay, so what are we supposed to be witnessing about? Because Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. For them, it was the and for us too, it's the resurrection. And specifically, I think, the bodily resurrection. Now, I gotta say, at least for me, I'll only speak of me, but like comprehending the whole bodily resurrection is just really hard to get my brain wrapped around. I mean, because it was the same Jesus, flesh and blood, but a totally different Jesus who was just able to like show up and disappear kind of willy-nilly. You know, I think when most of us think about the resurrection or someone who has passed away, we think about, you know, that they continue with life after death or they go to heaven. And it's kind of this nebulous spirit thing out there, you know, that's after. And what does it say that Jesus is after involved a body? You know, what does it say that heaven is going to be filled of people with bodies? It's hard to wrap our head around. I love that Paul tried to write about it, 1 Corinthians 15, which is a really long chapter. And he's wrestling with trying to explain the unexplainable. But perhaps we need to widen our view of what salvation is all about, that it involves a body too, what heaven is all gonna be about. But right now, we just know, you know, we are in earthly mode, but Jesus' body was at home on earth and home in heaven. And I think, you know, we've been schooled in kind of the Greek mentality of the way things are, the way they're always going to be. And Jesus showing up is blowing that out of the water. The bodily resurrection also is beautiful in the sense of, remember when God created everything and he brought dust together and he breathed life into it. And he said to the humans that this is good. Creation was good. Well, then the wheels come off in Genesis 3 and sin enters the world and things are broken. our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, a relationship with creation. But when Jesus shows back up in a body, it's reaffirming God's plan was good in creation. And so it resonates with that as well. The resurrection affirms the great hope that God's kingdom can come. You know, God is invading. He invaded our world in Jesus. We pray it each week that your kingdom come. We're inviting that other realm to come here to earth as well. And so salvation comes not just to our minds and our spirits, but it should involve our body as well. New life is possible, and that's the hope of the resurrection. The potential for the restoration of those relationships through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So there's great hope for us. You know, when Jesus showed up into that locked room, it was the same Jesus, and yet a very different Jesus. I mean, he acted normal. He did the normal things. He asked them questions. He ate with them. I mean, how many meals had he shared with them? And here he's sharing a meal again, but he's much, much more. And I think what he came to convey was that God's story was not over. I mean, when they were staring at that cross or heard about the cross, they thought it was all done. But that was just part of God's amazing story. And so Jesus doesn't launch into an explanation of how he was resurrected, but he explains why he was resurrected, why he had to die, why he was resurrected. You know, and it's from the law of Moses and from the prophets and the Psalms, like the whole Old Testament have that message of God's restoration, the restoration of all things. And so they were to witness to what God's story, what God has done and what God is doing. And I think to myself, and he did all of this while munching on broiled fish? I mean, but I think it was precisely when he was munching on fish. Because when he started a relationship with the disciples, you know, when he called the first disciples, where were they? They were in a fishing boat after a long night. And he invites them to try one more time, and they caught such a miraculous catch. That's earlier in Luke's gospel. And then after the resurrection in John, in the end of John's gospel, again, he meets them by the Sea of Galilee, and they have another miraculous catch of fish. And I think it was bringing them back to full circle. Remember, guys, it was going to be, you weren't going to be fishers of fish anymore. You were going to be fishers of people. And so it all kind of ties together. You know, the fact that fish has been such a part of their life, but it's going to launch them from where they are. And I'm reminded of another fishy story in the Bible. Well, I remember there was that disobedient prophet who was told to go, and he didn't want to go, and so a fish helped prompt him to go, but he was going to very unlikely people, and when he went, he preached a message of repentance. So I think all of this, like, comes together in this beautiful story. You know, they are being launched to be witnesses, launched to go to unexpected places. And I'm so thankful that they did, because we would not be sitting in this room had they not gone. The story is about God. It's always been about God. It always will be about God. And the disciples took that message that God wants to restore things. God wants to make things new and right in our relationships with each other, with God, with creation. And they went out from that locked room with God's peace, with Jesus's peace, with the knowledge of how this was all part of God's plan, as witnesses. We're a few hundred years later, but we also can pick up the charge to move away from our need for security to go out into the world and share how God is invading our world still today. And so it's the encouragement today that you might know God's story. It takes effort. I mean, that older Testament, it's got some wonky parts in it that are hard to understand sometimes. But when you start reading it and you understand who the God is, what it's bearing witness to, a God who cares about how we treat other people, especially the poor, the outcast. When we understand that and what Jesus' death was meant to accomplish in his resurrection, when we share that, you know, of God's power to make all things new, salvation will come. Not just salvation when we die. I think there's this misnomer that we get salvation so that we'll go to heaven someday. No, salvation is so that we will make an impact today, here, with our neighbors, with our friends around us. It should make a difference in how we live our lives. If God can make all things new, let us work to that end. And let us pray to that end now. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the Holy One and the Risen One, the One who gives us a picture of what resurrection is all about. You are in the business of making all things new. So we invite you to use us to share your life-giving message to the world. Help us to move beyond fear and the need for security, to bear witness to your purpose to make all things new through repentance and forgiveness of sin. We need you. Use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.